Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing Board or...
Miro! All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
News Talk Breakfast with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
I'm joined by Tánaiste Micheál Martin, Minister for Foreign Affairs, Minister for Defence, Fianna Fáil leader, of course, and TD for Cork South Central. Tánaiste, good morning.
Good morning.
You're presumably still on the campaign trail, knocking on doors.
I am indeed. I'm in Limerick City, speaking to you from Limerick City. I am joining with Dee Ryan, our mayoral candidate for Limerick, who's putting in a first-class campaign. I was with her earlier in the campaign, and her campaign has grown. And of course, yesterday I was with Lisa Chambers in Galway in the context of the European campaign, and with local councillors Peter Kane and Alan Cheevers there as well. Positive response, mixture of local issues and more national issues coming to the fore in terms of our engagement.
All right. Well, given you're Minister for Foreign Affairs...
The Limerick City one is unique. Limerick is unique in terms of this is the first time that we'll have a directly elected mayor in administering, if you like, the Limerick area. I'm just delighted to be in a position to campaign for Dee Ryan this morning.
You will be returning to the capital today.
To Cork, yeah. I get back to Cork City later, and we'll do a final piece of canvassing there in local elections. Obviously, with Billy Keller and Cynthia Ní Bhfiorachú as our two candidates.
You have a number of responsibilities as Tánaiste, but also Minister for Foreign Affairs, Minister for Defence, and there are many issues on your desk. One of them, of course, is the international situation with Israel and Gaza. And your reaction to the latest targeting of an UNRWA hospital killing dozens of people by the IDF?
It's a shocking loss of life, and it's a shocking attack. And the people of the world are really appalled at the level of human loss of life, destruction and death, the destruction of education, hundreds of thousands of Palestinians in Gaza, children not getting access to education, complete destruction of the health system there, all of the hospitals, bar one or two, just barely operating.
And what do you make of the Israeli contention? I mean, this is a repetitive situation. What do you make of the Israeli contention that they targeted, in fact, within the school, there was a compound, and they said they managed to kill some of the people involved in October the 7th. What do you make of those kind of excuses?
Well, it's extremely difficult for anyone outside of the theatre of war and outside that area to make to verify or validate any of those assertions. But what we do know from the history of this war so far is that there has been indiscriminate bombing, very large bombs used on Gaza. And Gaza is a very small enclave, highly densely populated, big urban buildings and so forth. It is impossible to bomb Gaza without bombing and killing.
No, but this was a very specific target. And the Israelis claim they are forensic, that they know exactly what they're doing. So when they target an UNRWA school where people are sheltering, they know they're targeting the school. Whatever their motivation about Hamas using people as human shields, they knew when they targeted that school it was an UNRWA school, and they also knew that people were sheltering there. What do you say to the Israelis?
Oh, I condemn that attack. I mean, it's appalling. There's no moral compass that can, in any shape or form, justify such an attack. And there has been a deliberate campaign to undermine UNRWA as an organization for quite some time now, despite the fact that UNRWA is the key and essential human rights organization or humanitarian organization to provide humanitarian aid and reconstruction and education and health services to the people of Gaza. Anyone you talk to in UN agencies, or indeed any other government across Europe, will acknowledge, some privately and most publicly, that without UNRWA, you simply cannot distribute humanitarian aid and assistance, and you certainly will not be in a position to reconstruct Gaza in the aftermath of this terrible war. But the Israeli government, in particular, has sought to undermine UNRWA for political reasons, because UNRWA, is essentially embraces that whole concept of the right of return for Palestinians, and Israel sees a political context in terms of the UN framework that governs UNRWA and the work that UNRWA does. And it's shocking and it's wrong and it's morally wrong. And we need an end to this war. And we need an immediate cessation of violence. We need the unconditional release of hostages. And we need a massive, massive surge of humanitarian aid into Gaza.
Are you disappointed that Ireland's recognition of Palestine hasn't provoked more support within the EU? More nations following in Ireland's and Spain's footsteps?
Well, Slovenia has followed our footsteps by recognizing a Palestinian state, and I believe others will also follow. And I believe the recognition by Spain, Norway and Ireland has also influenced and impacted the actual debate within the European Council, and I saw that at first hand myself at the Foreign Affairs Council meeting recently, in terms of a very strong momentum and push for not just the cessation of violence, but also for a political pathway towards a two-state solution. And that was in the context of European foreign ministers meeting with the Arab Contact Group, which involved key Arab states who have been developing a peace initiative around the recognition of a Palestinian state, but also normalization of relations between Saudi Arabia, for example, and Israel, and once and for all addressing the security dimensions that Israel needs resolved also. And there's a comprehensive peace framework that has been developed by Arab states, Egypt, the Palestinian Authority itself, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, of course, Qatar and others. And so the recognition was very much set in that context and is an important contribution to an absolute need for a political pathway to be developed. And what is very, very worrying is that there is still no sense from the Israeli government that it has any ideas in terms of the day after the end of this terrible war on Gaza, in terms of the administration of Gaza, in terms of security issues, in terms of how we develop a political pathway. And Israel needs to focus very strongly on that.
Now, Fianna Fáil has indicated it's not going to support Ursula von der Leyen for a second term as Commission President. Why is that? Is that to do with Israel?
It's first of all, no formal decision has been made by government in respect of this. And from a political party point of view, we're members of the Renew Group in the European Union. And obviously what will happen after the European elections is that different groups will put forward their own candidates for different positions within the European Commission and indeed other posts into Parliament and indeed into Council itself. And I think a lot will depend on the results of the European parliamentary election itself in terms of the respective strengths of different groups. And
yeah, but I mean, Ursula von der Leyen is the incumbent, and, you know, there are those who believe she did a good job and then blotted her copybook in terms of her reaction, premature perhaps, on October the 7th and the days thereafter, when it was not yet apparent that the Israelis would do what they did, although it was likely that they would certainly take some concerted action. Is it all to do with that?
I think many of our parliamentary candidates are very opposed to the stance that the President's Commission took at the beginning of that of the war, and what was perceived to be a one-sided approach to it. Ursula von der Leyen has been an effective president of the Commission, of that there's no doubt, in terms of the broader areas.
I mean, when the Commission...
Clearly in COVID-19 in particular, Brexit in terms of support and solidarity to Ireland, one has to acknowledge that. But certainly in terms of the Middle East, Europe, the European Union has not been as effective as it could be because of historic differences of perspectives and views. That certainly has been a factor in terms of people's positions in respect of who becomes the President of the Commission in the aftermath of these elections.
Yeah.
I would stress that the Council will decide to nominate the next President of the Commission, but that then will have to be ratified by the European Parliament. And that's the part that is very, very uncertain right now. It was a very close vote the last time, and a lot will depend on who comes forward from other groups, what other type of candidates might emerge, and the nature and strength of the respective groups in the Parliament post this European election. So one can't be definitive about it, to be honest.
Now, one of the thoughts is that if Fianna Fáil doesn't do well in these elections, either in the Europeans or in the local elections, that you yourself might become the next commissioner, because it's in Fianna Fáil's gift to nominate that commissioner. Are you ruling that out completely, or are you ruling it in?
First of all, I think Fianna Fáil will do well in these elections. We will do well in the European elections. We have a very strong suite of candidates, and we will do well, relatively well, in the local elections. Obviously, we did particularly well on the last occasion with 27% of the vote. That will be very challenging for us to achieve that again this time. But we are aiming to retain the seats that we have and gain some new seats in areas where perhaps we could have done better the last time. But by dint of candidate selection and so on like that, we didn't. So I'm not looking at it through a negative prism.
Okay, but what is success? Is success holding what you have?
Success would be very much holding what we have in numerical terms, but I think it would be more nuanced than that. We have some interesting candidates in new areas where we lost out the last time. And what I really will be watching for is the emergence of new candidates, younger candidates in some instances, who could compete effectively in a general election to be held within the next 9 to 10 months. So that's a very important point. I mean, if you look at 2016, when the party was in recovery mode, many of those who were elected in the local elections in 2014 became successful Dáil candidates in 2016.
Okay, but back to the question, are you ruling yourself out as a potential nominee?
I'm going forward for the next general election. I'll lead the party into the next general election.
Okay, and that's a definite, irrespective of the results of the local and Europeans.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing Board or...
Miro! All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Okay. Yes. I'm wondering, though, it's in your gift to nominate the next commissioner. And giving Ursula von der Leyen a political slap on the face might not augur well for the role that such a Fianna Fáil nominated commissioner would get from Ursula von der Leyen, should she succeed in a second term.
Look, as I said, it depends very much on what happens after the European election.
But you know what I mean? In terms of playing politics, if she does turn out to be the next, it's a bit kind of rich then expecting a decent portfolio from a woman that you...
Well, no, not at all. I mean, the bottom line here is we are in... first of all, I think the realpolitik of what's happening here is clear to all parties in the European Union context, and people may not realise this domestically, but you have European party groups in the European Union. And there will be engagement between those groups in the aftermath of the election. And that engagement will focus very much on key positions, such as the President of the Council, the President of the Commission, the President of the Parliament, and other positions as well. And it's in that context, really, that a lot of this will get resolved. And some of that will clearly depend on the respective strengths of the different groups. Fianna Fáil is part of the Renew Aldi group, and we've been part of that now for quite a long time. And that's given us far greater influence around the commission table than we ever would have had previously.
But back to the whole thing of playing from the Renew group of playing politics, and politics is played, that, you know, dissing Ursula von der Leyen should she be the president again is not necessarily good for Ireland's interests.
We haven't been dissing anybody. I think candidates have articulated their preferences. That's quite fair, I think. And as a member of a political grouping, obviously we're entitled, and now I'm talking in the European context, to have our input and to make our contributions to whoever becomes the nominee subsequently. What will happen is governments will nominate and the Parliament will ratify. But a lot will be shaped by the negotiations that will take place afterwards. I think one of the benefits of Fianna Fáil having people in the European Parliament is that we're part of an established group. Others are too, but others have not even declared what groups they're going into, even though they're going forward for election, which is difficult to comprehend.
Okay, well, you know, we don't know what the shape of the Parliament will be afterwards, because there is a rising right all across European countries. Your colleague in Cabinet, the Minister for Public Expenditure, Pascal Donoghue, has said there is a case for having an increased guard the presence at election count centres this weekend. What is that case?
Well, I think Pascal may be referring to some incidents at the referendum count centres where there was a lot of jeering, a lot of interruption of media, for example. I can recall, even though I arrived late to the count centre in Cork, and there was a number of people tried to interfere with an interview I was doing with Pascal Sheehy at the time on the platform in the count centre. And as you know, that's the lifeblood of the count centre, the media being able to relay back to headquarters, have the discussions, the interviews with various candidates and so on. And traditionally, they've never been interfered with. There was a lot of jostling in some cases, in sort of intimidatory behaviour. And that has no place in a count centre. As you know, the nerds from all the different political parties get together to do the tallies, and it should be conducted in a civil manner.
So what groups particularly? Are you talking about some of the newer political parties and their representatives?
No, there was some kind of not far-right groups in some of these cases who were making their presence felt in a way, I think, that was quite intimidatory. Designed to interrupt and interfere with people's right to freely associate with an account centre and do their normal business within a account centre.
Now there have always
there
been guardy
in Pascal the additional, or sorry, had there may be additional concerns in terms of potential attacks and so on, but I don't see that emerging.
I'm just wondering, there have always been guardy around account centres, you know, to protect the ballot boxes and so on. Are we talking about the public order unit being required in various account centres?
No, I don't think so. I wouldn't. I mean, look, these are operational policing matters for An Gardaí, but I certainly don't see that. But look, we've seen some incidents during this election campaign where certain candidates, and indeed Taoiseach himself was jostled last week in the context of a campaign. We don't want to see that at count centres. The campaign is over. There's an opportunity for the public to see in terms of who wins, who loses, the normal interaction and debate that takes place at count centres, that media will have freedom to operate. And that's important in a democracy, and that people wouldn't be. So, for example, if a particular member of a particular party is being interviewed, that we're not sort of that what we don't have then is groups of people roaring and shouting and trying to interrupt and disrupt that interview.
Okay. Now the general election
shouldn't be allowed.
The general election cannot be far away simply because of the time running out. Your youngest TD is quoted in the Irish Daily Mail today. This is James O'Connor, is calling on your party not ever to go into coalition again with the Greens. What say you?
Well, I wouldn't agree with that. I would have clear views in terms of our positioning before the next general election. And we'll discuss this within the parliamentary party and discuss it with the party membership as well. There have been many challenges in terms of government, but if you stand back and look at the last 4.5 years of government, I mean, the economy is in a very strong position, notwithstanding a once-in-100-year event, COVID-19. So government did well in response to COVID-19. We had a terrible outbreak of war in the Ukraine, the invasion of Ukraine by Russia, which led to significant inflationary pressures in terms of the energy crisis, and we've weathered that, and we still have full employment. There are challenges in rural Ireland in respect of issues. There are challenges around roads, and certainly I acknowledge that there have been those challenges and which have led to frustrations, okay. Particularly in
but
terms
you're,
of
you're
know,
still
issues
for,
that James himself has raised in East Cork. I understand that.
You're still four square behind the Greens.
What I'm saying is I wouldn't at this stage rule out who we might potentially go into government with. Obviously, I think this government, I think overall, and most people, I'm getting this on the doorsteps, irrespective of people's decisions. They actually acknowledge the government is doing a fair enough job on the economy. There are still many challenges. The biggest one, of course, is housing.
Okay, the last topic. We know we're struggling, and you're Minister for Defence, to recruit members for our armed forces, for our navy and for our land-based troops. And I note that in spite of our struggles, that 824 Irish people enlisted in the British Army and a further 120 or so enlisted for officer training. So we can't attract them, but the British Army can. What is your reaction to that?
Well, we are recruiting people every year, but of course we've had quite a number leaving then as well. And I think that figure is over 6 years.
Over 3 years. And, 3 years.
I thought it was over 6, I read, but it doesn't matter. I take your point on that. I'm not clear whether they enlisted or whether there's applications, because we have many, many people applying, and one of our issues is we need to convert far more of those who apply to the Irish Defence Forces than we are currently doing, and I think that's an issue around recruitment methodology and approaches. We've significantly enhanced pay up to 39,000. It's significantly better now than the UK, way higher actually than the UK in terms of starting pay for anyone joining the Irish Army and coming out of your leaving certificate. You're up to 39,000, particularly for the officer cadetship coming out of your leaving certificate. You know, you're in the 40s, and if you come out of university within 18 months, you're on 47,000 as a cadet. So these are very strong pay rates. We've extended healthcare, private healthcare to all enlisted personnel within the Defence Forces. We've doubled patrol duty allowance. So we've made really big changes. And I think culture and transformation is particularly important. We need to focus on the training and induction methods to make sure that
Why are they joining the British Forces?
But that we keep people.
Why are they joining the British Forces?
People have there are different reasons why people will want to join. I mean, that's not new. That's not a new phenomenon. And I think the overall numbers in the context of the British Armed Force are very low in terms of numbers of Irish enlisting. We've also increased now the age of retirement significantly up to 60, and that'll go to 62, so we can reduce the numbers leaving early. And we've given that certainty on the pension front. So that's very important in terms of reducing those who are leaving. We recruit, and we have a net target this year, which I think we will achieve. And we're turning the corner, albeit slowly, in respect of recruitment into the Defence Forces. Full employment in Ireland has been a big issue, Pat.
Okay, indeed.
And there's very good evidence, for example, even in the Cork area, that many of our personnel, because they're so well trained, get poached by many in the life sciences industry and the pharmaceutical industry, particularly from the Navy.
All right. Well.
And so those competing priorities within the full economy has been a factor. But also I would acknowledge, and we're moving on this, we've brought in outside expertise in terms of recruitment expertise to change how we recruit, to make it better and more effective for the future.
Okay, Tánaiste, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR
on News Talk.
Welcome. Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.